Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, I've dealt with this Texas weather all week.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, right. One day they tell us we're going to have heat stroke, and the next 5 nights it's, you know, watch your radar, watch the radar. The tornadoes are coming, and they've been all over Texas. I've never seen so much bad weather just everywhere.
I know it. All the way from Dallas, even up to, you know, North Texas. It's just, it's crazy the amount of damage that I've seen. It's almost, I mean, I don't want to say this is good, but because the tornadoes are bad, ton of damage. It seems like the injury and death toll has been fairly low, which if we're going to find anything bright spot at all, that would probably have to be it.
But the damage is millions of dollars. Oh, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And the flooding. And, you know, the other night they said it's between 2 and 3 inches right now.
Wow.
So the water was tremendous. And the hail damage, no telling how much that is, because they said it was 1.5 inches hail. And so that's pretty big hailstorms.
I mean, yeah, that's huge. I was seeing the damage to cars and houses, and it's just, I mean, trees are gone, neighborhoods are wiped out. It's just, I don't know. I mean, I know that, you know, spring is always volatile, but it just seems like this year is a little bit different than last year, or maybe I'm just remembering it wrong, but it just seems like the storms are more intense. I even saw one that came down from the sky as one and then split off into two. Did you see that one?
I missed that one.
Yeah.
Wow. I was looking at all the lightning. The lightning was, I mean, it looked like a whole town lit up.
Yeah.
The lightning was so bad.
And when you're sitting in the middle of it, you know, it's like you're sitting at home and you're trying to duck and hide and be in safe places. And or if you have a safe room, be in there. But it just, I mean, you feel like a sitting duck because you hear the wind, you hear the rain, you hear the hail beating on the roof and the windows and the side of the house. And it's just, man, you're just attacked from all over the place. It's terrifying.
Yeah, it was terrifying. And the little kids were asking questions, you know, like, is it fixing to hit? Is it going to be a tornado? And I'm telling them it says that it's still a little ways off and that we've got plenty of time.
Wow. And that's the worst part. When you know that it's coming and you can start to hear some rumblings and then you feel the pressure change and you hear that, you get that thing in your ears where it's like they feel like they're going to pop. And it's just, oh, it's just dreadful. Golly.
And the wind was really bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, roofs there. I mean, I just, I don't
There's
know.
There's no telling how many million the damage is.
Yeah.
No,
it's going to take a while to clean up just from the, and we're only just now at the beginning of May. So,
I know, we
still got a little ways to go before we're outside of bad weather season. Whew.
Well, apparently the weather didn't know that, and it came early. You know, it was trying to get us early.
Yeah. I figure by the time we get to June, we should be okay. But, wow, for the next 30 days or so, I'm a little bit skeptical and a little bit shaky because of what's already happened. So, I don't know. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
I should have asked earlier, you and the kids in the house and everybody okay? Llamas okay?
Oh, yeah. Thank goodness the llamas are okay because, you know, we lost a couple in the other storm. Yeah. The lightning hit them because they wouldn't go inside. And, you know, those fences are metal. And I guess they got up against it. And it just did them under.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'm so sorry.
Yes. Yeah, the children were really upset.
We were all
upset, but they were really upset that the llamas, you know, got hit by lightning and didn't move. You know, all they had to do is go in the barns. But they're hard-headed. They don't want to do it.
Oh, no. I'm sorry to hear that. And not only are the kids upset, I'm sure, but probably the other llamas are upset.
It does. It really upsets them. When a llama passes away, we have to have the people come and get them right away, because it upsets all the llamas.
Yeah. I mean, they've got I don't know what it is, feelings or emotions or whatever it is, and they run deep, really deep.
And they love each other, so, you know, it's a hard deal.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I did not know that, so.
Yeah, that was our last big storm did that. So this time we were really hoping they would stay away from the fences and go in.
Yeah.
So at least they weren't nearing the fences.
Yeah, you're almost tempted to go out there and herd them into the barn before anything happens.
That's right.
Get inside, take cover. So, all right, is there any, so there's all the doom and gloom from this week.
Yeah, now you've already told all that. Oh my gosh.
Any good news, anything fun to share?
Yes. Remember we talked about this big policy that we were bidding that had a tremendous income on it.
Oh, yeah.
We got the policy. It's going to pay 43%.
What?
43%, yes. And so I'm hoping everybody will get in that and make some money. The premium is very low. Oh, my gosh, it's low. So they don't have any worries on it. It's a great policy, and I'd like to see everybody get in it. And we'll be sending out invitations probably this next week for that policy.
Wow.
And then after we get that one done, we've got two others that we've bought. So we've been really lucky this week. You know, we were trying to get that policy. Everybody was bidding against us, but we got it. It pays 43%.
I'm shocked. It's not every day you get a 43% profit.
How long has it been? I can't even remember.
I don't know.
When we made 43% on a policy.
Yeah.
It's been a long time. You know, we've made 33 and 36, but getting up to 43 is unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, that's got to be one of the highest profit margins of all time, I would think.
It is. It's been a long time since we've made 43%.
Lord, you said, I don't know that you, if you mentioned it last week, I don't remember that, but I do know that today you said 43% and I about fell out of my chair.
Yeah, that's right. It's a wonderful opportunity. And, you know, I hope it'll fill up quickly. So it's a wonderful opportunity for everybody. And a lot of people have got a lot of money coming this next week, the next 2 weeks. I think they've got about $3 million coming.
Oh, yeah, from the other maturities that happened.
That's right. So, you know, altogether, I think we had $4 million. And I think about $3 million is coming in this week and next week. So everybody's going to have plenty of money. They've got money. They will have money in the bank to do this. They shouldn't be any worries. They should jump on this thing.
Wow. And you said it'll be ready for people to get in, what, next week invitations?
I think we'll get the invitations out this next week. Okay. And this is a big policy. Their profit is tremendous because it's like the total is $4 million. So I don't know. But 43% of that.
Wow.
So everybody, the amount of money they're going to make is tremendous.
So this is a $4 million policy with profits at over 40%. Is it fair to say that this is a hot policy and you haven't had one of these in a while? So this is probably going to go quick.
We have not had one this good, yes.
I'm thinking that's going to go like hotcakes. Or it should. I mean, I would anticipate that anyway. I mean, good Lord.
I think we're paying over $2 million for it, but there's still that's a tremendous amount of profit on it.
Yeah. Wow. I knew you were talking. You've been kind of pumping it up the last week or so, and I remember that it was on the table, and I remember that the last, I don't know, recently, it's been difficult to not only find policies, but find good policies. And then all of a sudden,
that's right,
this comes through the door, and it worked out. That's fantastic.
And usually they outbid us, you know that.
Yeah.
They've been, all the big policies, they've been outbidding us. And we accidentally overbid this one. And the owner said, whoever gets to the number I want first, they're going to get it.
Wow.
So we bid it immediately, but we didn't know till this week that we got it.
Wow. And the profit is 43%.
43%.
Jeez. Yeah, that's going to go out. That's going to fill up fast, I'm sure. Especially now that people have more money coming in from the other maturities.
That's right. They've got $3 million coming in, and they already had quite a bit from the other policy. So it's a good deal all around for all of us.
Wow, that is fantastic. I'm glad to hear that. It's been a while, and it's almost like I hate to say, you know, the it was worth the wait, but. No,
it was worth the wait.
It cut in.
But we had missed a lot of policies this year. In fact, someone said the other day, well, Faye, you haven't sent me anything lately. I said, well, because we've been outbid on all of them, you know?
Yeah.
We had bought some small things, but not anything as good as this.
Yeah. I mean, it's been brutal recently out there.
It has. But everybody says, we don't have any policies. We don't have any. And when this one came up, we stayed with it, and we were lucky enough to get the bid.
Yeah. See, I mean, that's what you get for being persistent, even when, you know, it looks like, you know, it almost looks like David and Goliath, and it's like all these other companies come in, they have all this money to spend on policies, and you would have thought something like this, they would have probably gone on out, all out, even if they shaved off all their profit in the meantime, but they didn't, and you got it. And so it's a win on many different levels, so... This is long overdue. So that's fantastic news. As far as how the, let me backtrack a little bit, because we mentioned real quick that, you know, a lot of people have, you know, 3 million, I think it was, coming in from other maturities. It just so happens that the timing on this worked out really, really well. But this is really ideally for anybody that's never done a life settlement before. This is how the entire investment is set up to work. This is how it works by design. Profits come in, turn around, reinvest it in new policies. Those mature, profits come in, turn around, reinvest in other policies. And it doesn't always work out with this kind of perfect timing, but it's almost like a giant game of leapfrog. And it's designed so that people can get in multiple policies. The more policies people are in, the more their profit is. So it's just, I don't know, it just kind of showcases that, you know, maybe a little bit non-consistent as far as, you know, when policies come in. And when new policies will be available. But this is really, I think, almost an ideal picture of how the whole investment is supposed to work. Is that about right, or am I looking at it in a weird way?
No, I think it's true, because if you have a lot of policies, you're going to make more money. If you sit there on the sidelines and say, well, that other one was slow coming in, that doesn't mean the next one will be.
Yeah.
It may be early, and it may be on time. We never know. But I know the last ones that we've done, you know, most of them were early.
Yeah.
I think out of that whole deal, we had one that was a latecomer, but the others weren't.
Yeah. And, you know, and we've talked about, you know, some investors who may have gotten in, I don't know, years and years ago with one of those, quote, old policies, and they weren't quite as great. And they may have said, okay, yeah, this came in a little bit late, so I'm not really sure. But it just seems like, you know, the last several years, and really almost seems like every year they just keep getting more accurate and more accurate and better and better. And if anybody's been sitting on the sideline for a while because of that, you know, you just look at the numbers and you say, oh, wow, these, you know, like you said, these policies are coming more on time or early than they used to. And with a policy like this that you just got this week, it seems like when invitations go out next week, this is one of these things where people who may have been sitting on the sidelines for a while should probably jump back in, because this is a really good opportunity and it's a really big policy with really big profits, to say the least.
That's right. The profits will be really great on this thing.
Yeah. And so, I don't know, it just seems like, you know, if people have never been in life settlements before, this is a really, really good time to start up. What would it take for, say, a new investor to get into a policy, just at
random? Well, we'd have to get them an account set up, get money transferred over there, and then they'd be ready to go.
Well, that's easy. Straightforward.
It is very straightforward.
Time-wise, how long would that take, roughly?
If we emailed back and forth and then sent it overnight, we could probably get it done before the end of the week.
Oh, wow. So if somebody called you on Monday, by the time we talk next weekend, a new investor could be all set up and pretty much ready to go.
Unless it's an IRA that's having to be transferred. That takes a few days longer. But if it's a check, we can get it done.
Okay. Well, even still, you know, you would think that, you know, something like this might take, I don't know, a couple of weeks or who knows. But it really doesn't. It's surprisingly quick to get all set up for.
And, of course, they'll have time. It's going to take us 2 weeks to fill this because it's so big.
Is it really? You think it would? I should have probably asked that. So, yeah, I guess the bigger the policy, the more people have to be in it, the longer it takes to
fill. That's right. Because it'll take a lot of people to fill this.
So I'm glad you brought that up because I didn't even think about that. So a new investor, never done life settlements before, could literally call you on Monday and then have enough time to potentially get into this big, huge policy.
Yes, they'll have time.
Wow, pretty cool. I'm sure there's at least a few people somewhere who are sitting there running some numbers. It's like, okay, 43% profit, gigantic policy. Boy, wouldn't this be a great policy to start out with. Imagine somebody coming in for the first time and this is their first policy. It doesn't get any better. That's like hitting the winning a gold medal your first time at the Olympics. That would just...
That's right. It is.
Wow.
Because if they get in now, 43%, that'll take them to a place they haven't been. I don't know if anybody's making 43% on their investments.
No,
I really don't.
I don't either. Now, it's not normal to have 43% profits. Just on a regular day, what would be maybe the average profits for?
Usually it's 25-28%.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, that's usually where they're at. Now, every once in a while, there'll be a 32%.
Yeah.
But we haven't had a 43% in 2 or 3 years, I know. In fact, I don't know if it was ever that high.
I don't know if it was. I remember a 38% somewhere. That's been a little while. I think I might remember a 40 somewhere in there, but yeah, 43, this is rare. And so, yeah, I can see how this is going to go fast. Relatively speaking, fast. It's still going to take a couple of weeks, but it's not like it'll sit out there for a month and a half or.
Oh, no. We should be through in 2 weeks, have everybody their money in there, decide how much they want to invest, and figure out what they're going to make, and off to the races.
Yeah, and that's really all it is. And the whole point for doing what you do, the types of policies that you're bidding on and investing in, they're all designed for short returns. It's not something that is designed to go out 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, and sometime, you know, in a couple of decades, I'll be able to cash this in or whatever. No, the whole point is to get higher profit margins and quicker returns. That's the basis of what you do, right?
That's right. And you know, it's funny. One of these companies last week sent us this deal and said, it's $10 million. I thought, we're not doing $10 million, but let's look at it. It was 60 months.
What?
Oh, my gosh. There isn't anybody in the world that'll buy that thing. I mean, can you imagine telling some guy, well, yeah, we're going to sell you this $10 million policy. Of course, you won't get anything for years and years and years.
Oh, that's like taking out a car loan.
That's
word.
Right. It is.
Wow.
And them telling you, you know, it's a 10-year note or 7-year.
No, not a chance. You have.
Yeah, we said no. There's not anybody will buy it. I guarantee.
No, you've done this long enough that they can't fool you. It's
that's right.
That ain't happening. Wow. So yeah, you passed on that altogether. And that's another thing. You get a lot of policies that you don't even bid on. They look terrible, or sometimes I would imagine they look great on the outset, and then you start reading through and getting all the data, and this is like, no, this is really starting to kind of turn the other way, and you'll just pass it off. You don't just bid on everything that comes in blindly. Not even close.
Heavens no. And lots of times when we get to reading the fine print, the premiums in 4 years go to 7 or 8%.
Oh, wow.
I mean, there isn't anybody can afford that. Mm-hmm. And once I saw one that went to 11. I mean, those people might as well give it up and put it in the wastebasket.
Yeah. Just take it outside and set it on fire. I mean, my word.
Because they'll never be able to get that to work.
No. The numbers don't pan out. There's no profit in those.
There's none whatsoever. And whoever bought it or talked them into buying it, I'd be looking for them. I'd say, we need to have a little talk here.
Yeah. Sell them a bridge in Brooklyn.
That's right. That's what they need to do. Go to Brooklyn and get with those people up there.
Wow. So what's the advantage of, say, a life settlement over another type of investment that's non-conservative?
This is so conservative. Your principal's guaranteed. Your profit's guaranteed. It's not going to go up and down during the investment. So it's not like the stock market. You buy something in the stock market, it's going to go up and down until it pays off. So you don't know what your profit is till the end of the deal. Hmm. So you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. And with a life settlement, you have an idea of when it's going to mature. You know what your profit margin is. It seems like if people are impatient, maybe this isn't the investment for them. But if people are okay with just, hey, I know I got to wait 18 months or 20 months or however long the policy is, which is not that long to get back the incredible profit margins that they're getting. If you're patient and can do that, this is ideal. It just, I mean, you don't worry about losing everything.
And what I love is that principal's always safe.
Yeah.
That principal's not going to go down. It's not going to go sideways. You have a solid investment. And that's what people are looking for. Solid investment that you know how much you're going to get. You know where your money is at all time. And then it's handled by a trustee. If all investments were handled by a trustee, can you imagine what a wonderful investment world it would be?
Oh, it'd be great. It wouldn't make this such a great thing, though.
You're right about that. If everybody was doing it, it'd be a heck of a deal, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it really would. And having a trustee, it makes it more secure. I don't know how to phrase it.
It makes it 100% secure. Because when you're in the stock market, you don't know from day to day. It may be good today, but tomorrow might not be so good. And then if they say, well, the broker didn't do a good job, it's not worth as much as it was, that's going to make you mad.
Yeah, that's an understatement. But yeah.
I know I'm being nice.
You are being nice. It's going to make you
mad.
I mean,
you know, it's going to make you really mad. And I read all these stories every day. And people say, well, what happened? Where's my money? And it's just not there.
No, it's just, and that your broker can do whatever they want to do in the stock market, and you don't know what you're in. But with the life settlement, you know exactly what you're in. You get all the information right up front. So there's a couple of ways that people can look at this. For your people who have been investing for a number of years, they just know if it's available to get in on, then they know that it's a good policy. They've done this long enough that they know you're not going to bid on junk. You're not going to bid on something that's, you know, terrible. No, if it's there, it's a good policy because they've done it for a while. But new investors, I'm sure, probably don't have that experience yet under their belt. And so they may think, okay, well, I want to read the policy. I want to know all about it. And that information is available. So they don't, it's not like, well, you know, just trust me, it's a good policy. Literally, they have all the details. What kind of information do they actually have up front that they can see?
Well, because as you know, We tell them what doctors they've been to, what hospitals. If it's prostrate, it tells them what the PSA score is. If it's going up, and if the thing just keeps going up, you're not going to make it.
Yeah.
And sometimes those are inoperable. But we're going to tell you if it's breast cancer, how long they've had it, what doctors, what chemo they're on. We're going to tell you all that. So you have all the news about it in advance before you ever buy.
Yeah. And you also look at their lifestyle. So, like you've said before, if they're out playing golf, they're just fine. And so,
that's right. And we don't want to join them.
No, I mean, it's a great policy. If they want to sell the policy to somebody else, that's fine. But it's not for you. It's just, and there are other people that will out there that will buy those kinds of policies. And that's totally great. Good for them. But your focus is so unique and so, I guess, pinpointed. That you're looking for those faster maturing policies, and it does help the policy holder. They need the money. They're selling it on purpose, and they need people out there to buy it. So it's not that anything's being taken from them or anything like that. They need to sell the policies.
That's why they came to us. They're in bad shape financially. They know that it's 100,000 or more per month, and they're trying to save their life. So they're doing everything they can. And most of them know that it is terminal, but they're trying to get treatment anyway.
Yeah, they're trying at least, and that's expensive.
They are. It's not going to help a lot, but they're still in the game. They're going to the doctor and saying, "What can you do? What new medicine is there? What new treatment?"
Yeah. So once you buy or once you bid on the policy, if you are the if you win it, then you have the policy, and then the people who turn around and invest in it, they become partial policy holders. Am I saying that the right
That's
way?
exactly right. And it may take, like on this big one, we may have 20 people in it.
Okay. So say, for example, I'll just make some simple, easy math here. If you had a policy for $100, you never would, but easy math, and you had 10 people in it, then 10 people would have 10% of the policy, and they'd each get, say, $10. So they get their money back, and then the percentage of the policy. So it's like there's several people in it together. It's not just one person out there into one thing by themselves. It's a group effort, I guess. And so a lot of times, I think people like being invested in something with other people. And so it just seems like it fits so many different types of investment opportunities and people's goals. The only thing, though, is that you do have to be patient. If it's an 18-month policy, may come in 18, could come in 16, could come in 20. So you can't book it on a calendar and say, on this exact date, the policy will mature and I'm going to get paid. So there is a little bit of fluidity among that. If somebody's not looking for, if they want more of a, what would I say, consistent type of policy where they know exactly what they want, they know exactly what they're going to have available, they know exactly when they can take it out, almost like when you get paid, like you got paid, say, on the 15th and the 30th of the month. You could put it on the calendar and know that's when funds will be available. If they're looking for something like that, still in a conservative investment, annuities might be the way to go. That's a good alternative.
An annuity is probably the best way for a senior to go. Because if you're 70 years old, you probably should be going with an annuity. Because remember, the annuity, you don't pay any tax till you take it out. It's all tax deferred, so it grows faster because they're not taxing you up front. It's taxed as you take it out. So it makes more sense. And then you can take 10% a year out, and it's compound interest. So there's not anything that I know of bad about an annuity. I've been doing annuities probably 26 years.
Wow.
And people are now passing away, unfortunately, that have annuities with me. But we're writing a lot of new annuities. People who are retiring are calling and say, "Faye, I want in on an annuity. I want to be sure where my money is." They don't want some silly investment that they can't see. They're not going to do crypto. They're not going to do the gold, because the fees when you sell it are high. You pay a fee going in, you pay a fee coming out. So you're not always going to get as much profit with those other investments as you think. But with an annuity, you're going to get 100% of what's coming. You're going to get your interest every year. You can take, at the end of the term, you can cash it in or go again. I had a lady call me this week. Well, she said, you know, I'm getting on up there. What should I do? I said, stay where you are. At this age, nobody's going to put you in anything that would pay more than an annuity. No way.
Yeah.
And that's what she did. But she'd had it, you know, 15 years. And it's paid her a lot of money. She's taken a lot of interest out. But her principal's still there. We have not gotten into her principal. That's what I love about annuities. You know?
I remember what you were saying a couple of weeks ago about the lady who has had an annuity for 20 years. If I get my numbers wrong, I apologize, but I think I remember you said she put in $100,000 and she's been taking a percentage out every year, and it's still it's worth $104,000 or something like that.
That's so. Exactly right. It's worth $104,000 and yet she took an RMD every year.
Yeah.
And it's still worth as much as she started. That's what I love about annuities. They average around 10%. And right now we've got all these bonuses. So that bonus is really important, because if you put your bonus in 16% on 100, that's $16,000.
Yeah.
So if you have a million, you know, it's a lot of money, $160,000 on a million.
I mean, that adds up quick. And
it does. And you get that plus what you made that first year. So it's not going anywhere. It's just added to you, your profit, and it's right there. And yeah. I love annuities. Besides, it's an insurance product. That's why it's safe and guaranteed. You don't have all that risk.
Yeah.
Most other investments have all this risk, and you have to think about that. Can I stand all that risk, or do I need to be conservative? And my husband and I are retiring, and we need to know where our money is. If you need to know where that money is and make a good profit, an annuity is a place to go.
Yeah. And it seems like, you know, anybody that may have been making some money in the stock market lately, it might be a good idea to at least take some of that, be a little bit more conservative, especially if people are getting close to retirement, you know, because not only do you have, you know, you protect your principal, you've got that stopgap so that if you, because you always say, correct me if I get this wrong, but you always say, I think, that an annuity mirrors the stock market, but it's not actually in the stock market. So if the market crashes and those people have nothing left, your annuity has a stopgap, so you still protect your principal and you don't have to worry about losing everything. Is that right?
That's exactly right. You've got it down. Because if the market goes down, it's a loss. Mm. And it shows the next day on your portfolio. if that isn't true with an annuity, it has a stopgap, and you're not ever in the stock market. That's what protects the investment. So if it goes down, it won't make any money that day, but it holds.
Yeah.
It holds in that pattern. So that's what protects you. And life insurance companies have got more money than anybody. I don't care who it is. They have a tremendous premium coming in every day of their life.
Yeah. And that when you say that they have money, it's not that they have it in assets someplace. It's like cash that they can pay out today. They don't have to go find it someplace or borrow against it or, you know, oh, I need 30 or 60 or 90 days to get it. No. They have the resources right there at all times. And so you don't have to worry about, gosh, do they have the money? Are they going to pay it out? You don't have to worry about that.
And that's why when we turn in a claim for $10 million or $5 million, within 12 days we have the money.
Yeah. Yeah.
It takes them 12 days to pay.
Yeah, I mean,
because
that's...
they won't FedEx it.
Yeah.
They never FedEx the money. They'll get the check ready. Then they put it on snail mail to us. They hate paying out those claims.
Yeah.
But they do it anyway. It's not a deal where they say, oh, we'll overnight it to you. Never do they overnight mail.
Yeah, no. They have to pay it. They do pay it, but it's not their most favorite thing.
No, it's not. And when we buy these policies, you know, we make sure they're A-rated. We make sure they're a huge company, and we don't buy anything from small companies.
Yeah. And that makes a difference. It makes a huge difference because, you know, those resources are there. They're solid. And annuities, it almost seems like when you tell the story about, you know, somebody who's had the annuity for 15 years and she calls you this week and she's like, well, you know, should I do something else? It almost seems like it's one of those investments. And I mean this in a good way, that's so boring. You think you should be doing something else. And it does. You don't have to. It's on, I don't want to say autopilot, but I guess for lack
it
of a better
term.
It is
on autopilot, yeah. Yes. Because all you do every year, you just send in that little form and say, this is how much I need. And that comes real quick.
Yeah.
Within a week, you've got that money.
I don't know. It's annuities seem like they're very underappreciated sometimes. Might be the right word.
Because everybody I know that has one, they relax. Once a year, they get their statement. There's nothing to it. They always know where their money is. They know it's making money. And it's solid. It's just solid as it can be.
Yeah.
And people take out annuities for their grandchildren, their children. They leave it all to the wife sometimes. And sometimes they add other people to it. But I love annuities. I know they're solid. I know they'll pay. I know we don't have to go out here and watch for them.
Yeah, and they're conservative. And that's really the key point, is that with an annuity, you'll never have to get up at midnight and say, do I have anything left today? So
that's exactly right. Yeah. And you know they have more money than almost anybody in the whole world.
Yeah.
And they can pay claims no matter how much they are.
Yeah.
And they have to have cash on hand at all times.
Yeah, that's law, by the way. That's not, they don't do it out of the kindness of their heart. That's
no, they know that when they're audited every year, it's got to show up. It's got to show how much cash, how many bonds, and they require a lot of bonds.
Yeah. So it is pretty tight. It's heavily regulated, which just helps make it even more secure. And it relaxes people knowing that they don't have to, you know, if they've had anxiety before from other investment opportunities, wondering if they've got anything and they can retire, or if they're already retired, do they have to go back to work? You know, all those things are gone with an annuity because they are so heavily regulated, which is great. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is...
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
Ronnie Dunn, a musician. Do you know a lot about him?
Well, not a lot, but I know who he is.
Okay, he was born in Coleman, Texas.
I thought he was from Oklahoma. See, now look at me.
No,
I'm terribly misinformed.
He attended 13 schools in his first 12 years.
Oh, my word.
And then he began school over in New Mexico. And he finished his formal education at Abilene Christian University.
Really?
In 1975. He was studying psychology. He was going to be a psychology major. And in the meantime, he was playing nighttime, bass guitar, and singing with bands in clubs when he was supposed to be studying. The university said, okay, here's your choice. Either you quit the band or you quit the university. He left the university, moved to Tulsa, Oklahoma.
That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah. And he started his music career. He lived there for a lot of years. And he was drawing inspiration from all these honky town places like Tulsa City Limited. And he was featuring a music video for Brooks and Dunn. Now that was when Brooks came along and joined him, and while he was in college in Oklahoma and everywhere, he was a youth minister at the Baptist Church.
Was he really?
Yeah, he really was. And so that was why he went to Abilene Christian, because of his religious background. And then he began his career as a solo artist, as you know. He charted two singles with the MCA. And in 1983, he released The Written All Over Your Face. Now, I can't imagine it's called that. It's Written All Over Your Face. And in 1984, he put Sad in All the Songs. In 1990, kicked Brooks, and he formed Brooks and Dunn.
See, I didn't know he had any solo songs out before that. I just, for some reason, thought that he came up and somehow met the other one, and they just started the duo, and that was the beginning. I didn't know that he had a solo career before that.
Yeah, he did. And then Brooks and Dunn released 12 studio albums, two of the greatest hits, and a Christmas album at that time. But how many albums do you think they sold?
I'm going to say 50 million.
30 million albums.
Really?
He had 20 number one singles. He was on Billboard, and one of the most consistently successful acts in all of concert circuits.
Wow.
Then in 2009, I don't know what went wrong. They temporarily suspended their duets, and so then he said he was gonna. He was with Sony Records by then, and he announced that he was working on a solo album, and it was it debuted like number 30.
Oh, did it really? See, I
Yeah.
don't even remember that. I'm for some reason, I remember practically every song from Brooks and Dunn, but I don't remember much at all about his solo career.
Yeah, the second single from his album called Cost of Living excuse me, was released on June 6, 2011. And it was number 56 on the country chart. And then it peaked at number 19, followed by Let the Cowboy Rock. I don't remember any of these.
I don't remember these either. I'm ashamed of myself. I feel like I should know this.
And then he debuted at number one on the Billboard. So he
Really?
had a lot of really big hits, except I'm not familiar with them.
I know it. I don't. I don't. I'm ashamed to know. I thought I knew a bunch. When you said, "Okay, we're going to talk about Ronnie Dunn today," I thought, "Okay, this is great. You know, I this is right up my alley. I'm going to know all about this," and I practically know nothing.
Well, and you know, it's amazing. One of the few guys that got married in 1990, he's still married to the same lady, and he had three children. You know, none of these other guys ever stay married.
No, they don't. They go out on tour, and then one thing's happened, and then people split up, and I don't know, they go in different directions or whatever the case is, and they get divorced and who knows what. But you don't ever hear any scandal now that I sit here and I think about it. You don't ever hear any scandal about Ronnie Dunn, as far as I can remember. So, I mean, he seems pretty straightforward and nice person. I had no idea he was going to school to be, what was this, a psychologist?
Yeah, a psychologist.
I didn't know that. Not a clue.
But let me give you a few of his songs, see if you know any of these.
Okay.
It's Written All Over Your Face.
No.
That was on the country label, 59. She put the sad on all of his songs.
No.
Okay, Jesse.
No, I don't know that one either.
Blood Red, that one did real well. Cost of Living, Let the Cowboy Rock, Kiss You There,
Nope.
Ain't no trucks in Texas.
Now that one I know. I remember that one for some reason. That one, yeah, I got that one, but I don't remember any of the others.
I worship the woman you walked on.
I don't remember that, but I for some reason I want to.
Now this one you should remember. Take these chains from my heart.
Yes. I remember that.
And this one says, Garth must be busy. I don't remember that one.
I don't remember that one
Pray
either.
For peace.
No.
Rocket Man. And those were all singles.
Rocket Man, was that like a remake of Elton John? Or was that a completely
different one?
That's
what I'm thinking it was.
Wow. I've never even heard it. I don't, as far as I know.
And you know him and Reba McEntire. You know they did a concert together, and it also shows her on one of his records.
Yes. Now it seems like the duets or the partnerships between Reba and them. It just seems like there's several. That, I don't know, by several, I mean like 3-4. But it seems like they seem to team up quite often, from my impression.
Well, I remember that, but I don't remember what they sang and all that.
I don't remember either. It just seems like I remember several songs with her on them. I don't know what they are. But...
And Brooks and Dunn had 30 awards, winning top vocal duo every year.
Yeah, it just they won CMA awards and ACM awards. It's like for several years they were just like award royalty. They won everything. It was to the point you could bet on it beforehand. They were the rule.
And he was award top vocalist and entertainer of the year.
Yeah. Yep. I remember that. I mean, it seems like in the 90s, all those artists that really hit their high point in the 90s I don't know. It just, there was a lot of variety. There was a lot of really talented people out back then. So, and then country music pretty much exploded right before. Right while he was coming up, because that's when, like 89, I think, 90, that's when really things really started to explode. So they also hit the right time, the country music scene at the right time, too. So their timing was perfect.
Well, he had 2 Grammys and over 25 broadcast music awards.
I didn't know it was 25. I knew it was a lot, but I did not know 25.
And a country music songwriter of the year. So he wrote a lot of songs.
Yeah. And a lot of people, they'll go out and they'll shop songs and they'll, you know, see what, who, you know, there's a group of songwriters that'll write songs and they'll shop them to different artists. And that's how they get a lot of their material. Nothing wrong with that. But to be able to write the songs, I don't know. I think you just deliver it in a different way. It's much more personal when you actually write it. So... I mean, he's really talented on a number of different levels.
Yeah, I think he is too. And I was shocked that he lived in Coleman, Texas, was born there, and then went all these other places to school, and they couldn't keep him studying because he was playing music at night.
Yeah, yeah. And to give him an ultimatum, you pick school or music. Boy, I'd have to really think hard on that one. It's like, do you want
to? Can you
gamble?
Imagine he was a psychologist? I mean, that is so far from country music.
I know it. It's like, talk about polar opposites. I mean, there's no connection there at all. So if he didn't make the right choice, we could be sitting in an office saying something like, hey, Dr. Dunn, do you mind if I come back and see you next week?
That's right. And then him and Brooks, you know, parted ways for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah,
and he was writing his own music and playing a solo.
Yeah, of course. By the time they Brooks and Dunn parted ways, I guess by that time you don't really do it for the money because they were probably loaded. It was really just about, you know, the artistry, the, you know, pursuing different interests. And it happens all the time. And people will, you know, go different ways and they'll do their own thing for a little while. Then they'll come back and then they'll, you know, there's all, usually a reunion tour and, you know, all the things that usually happen. But I mean,
and he did several albums with other people.
Yeah.
Like the deal with Reba McEntire and other people.
Yeah. I remember the song. That was it. If you see him, if you see her, or maybe it was backwards. See her, see him.
Yeah, I don't remember. And then they did some concerts together.
Yes. I might be thinking of something else, but I want to say, didn't he or him and Kix have a residency in Vegas or...
See, I don't remember.
I don't remember that either. I might be making that up.
I wasn't paying attention.
you took a nap that week.
That's right. I took a nap and don't remember. But I know I liked his music.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, some of that Brooks and Dunn
stuff.
He's
very talented.
Yeah, really, really talented. And it's not very often that you find a partnership like that. I mean, him and Kix Brooks were, I mean, they were just... It's like a puzzle piece that fits perfectly. You don't always get that kind of harmony and that kind of synchronicity between two artists.
And you don't even know if their voices are going to work together.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's, you know, to be able to meet each other, their paths crossing had to have been some kind of the universe had to get involved in some way, shape, or form, because that's not just by chance. That was fate. Had to be. So, yeah, Brooks and Dunn, great music. I haven't heard a whole bunch of Brooks and Dunn music in a while, so I'm going to have to actually turn some on and listen. I love that.
That's right, because it's good music.
Yeah, really. At this point, it almost takes you back to another place in another time. So.
That's right. And look at all these people born in Texas.
I know it. Again, I really thought he was from Oklahoma, but now I understand why. He lived there, but he was born here in Texas. So now I get it. You filled in some gaps.
I love it. He went to all those different schools, and I don't know why.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know either. It's just, I don't know. It seems like early on in life, his path looked like it was going one way, and then all of a sudden, boom, it went another way, and it changed the trajectory for everything. Not only his life, but then we wouldn't have had that music, and we wouldn't have, you know, it changed so many different people, the fact that he chose music instead of school.
Psychology. Wow.
Now, that's not for everybody. So, kids, staying cool in school.
That's right.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's American Financial Midland.com.
All right. Before we wrap, we were talking last about annuities and how they're such a conservative investment and how it is something that you can literally take the interest and live off that and maintain the principal. You've given a couple of different examples of people who have done that. To make that happen, though, so like we're talking specifically about the lady who had the annuity for 20 years, put $100,000 in, still has $100,000 in it. She didn't take out everything that she could have every year. She was smart about it and planned ahead. So what is it like? What did she take? 2 or 3 out of 10% or what?
I think she took 3%.
Okay. Each year.
Yes.
All right. So you have to be smart about it. I mean, you don't just go crazy and, you know, take 10% out every year.
But, you know, we had somebody that did, and the government came back on them. They said, you've taken too much out of an IRA, and they had to pay up.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, don't take more than what you're supposed to.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's designed, but you still have to, you know, be smart about it, and you can walk people through that. But are there any risks involved with an annuity or?
Not really, because it's with a huge life insurance company. They've been in business, at least 100 years.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a solid
foundation.
So you
want a company that's been in business at least a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't get one that's just started. They might not be stable enough.
Yeah. Yeah, you want to make sure that they've been doing this for a minute or two.
Yes, I'd say a minimum of 30 years.
Yeah, yeah. So for life settlements, though, there are two risks. What's the first one you like people to know?
The first risk is, remember, if it goes over, you have to pay premium. So that's your biggest risk. The second risk is, remember, you can't take all this cash out until it matures. And that makes sense.
Yeah.
And you must be accredited. If you're not accredited, you can't do a life settlement. So this means you must make $200,000 or be worth $1 million without your home. And so that's it.
We should point out also, because you have this big policy on the line next week, that if anybody is not currently an investor or has never done a life settlement before and they hear the accreditation and think, oh, my gosh, I'm nowhere near accredited, it is worth looking at some of your assets, because you have had clients before that have thought the same thing. I'm not anywhere near close to being accredited. And then they go back and run some numbers and they realize, oh, my gosh, when I start looking at things, it turns out I'm more than accredited. And so that includes like rental properties, 401ks, what else?
Well, like if they have a ranch and have cattle and horses,
yeah,
those are added in.
Yeah. So,
and the other thing is, if they're not sure they make $200,000, add up your salary and your bonus and see what it comes to.
Oh, well, that's true. Somebody's salary may not be $200,000, but you throw the bonuses in, and then all of a sudden it changes the game drastically. So
it does.
If anybody's thinking I'm not close to it, it might be worth going back and taking a second look. But I would hurry, because you got this big policy on the line next week, and those invitations go out. And so you think, what, probably 2 weeks or so?
I think it'll take 2 weeks to fill it.
Okay.
Because some may be waiting on these checks that are coming in.
Yeah, yeah. So there is time, but don't dawdle.
That's right. Do not dawdle if you want in this and want to make 43%.
43%. I just love how that sounds. You don't say that very often, and so I'm just basking it in.
That's right.
All right. So if anybody does want to get in on either this policy, or they just want to talk about, you know, life settlements in general, maybe starting up annuities or anything like that, or planning out things, where they are in their career, how close they are to retirement, anything like that, they do need to come call you, come talk to you. They do need to make an appointment. So one last time, Faye, what's your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.